So I can tell by looking out tonight that we are a room full of people who've had perfectly good relationships in our past, and everything's always went well. None of us has ever been hurt, burned, stung, or walked on. Well, I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight. I feel like there's one in here maybe that could use this. You know, I can't help but talk about this a little bit tonight because it's the most prevalent thing that I come across when we talk to anybody. And it's not just husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend. It's not just parent to child. It's between siblings. It's between all kinds of things. If everyone would be honest, if they really would be honest, you have baggage in your relationship. And there's not a relationship in this room that can say, no, we're baggage free. We don't have anything going on that that keeps us from being totally, fully committed and together. And some of you might want to argue with that, but just hear me out for a minute and we'll talk about that. But people also, when I'm talking about relationships, I'm talking about relationships across the board. I'm talking about to your siblings, to your children, to your spouse, but I'm also talking about your relationship with God. No matter where you are, no matter who you are, the best relationships in there have some degree of it. When Alice and I first got together, man, we imported an incredible amount of baggage into our relationship. We spent the first months really trying to get over what the other person was bringing in. You know, it's a wonder that anybody ever gets married or ever does fall in love and come together because of the stuff that you have to fight through and wade through. That's come from other things in their life. And it's the same thing with serving God. It's a wonder that any of us ever finally gets around to where we're serving and we're committed to God because of all the stuff that's happened in our lives and the stuff that gets in our way that keep us from fully being committed and doing what He'd have us do. I wrote down a few things. I like saying to call it baggage because I think it's really fitting. I wrote down like three things. The more you have, the harder it is to go. The more baggage you got, the harder it is to go somewhere. When we were...
That's the reason that I think that one, we didn't have none.
Didn't have none? that's exactly right, though. If the more that we pack around, the more that we have, the harder it is for us to travel and get to where we're going. Anybody that's ever flown anywhere recently knows that's the truth. Some of the savviest travelers in the world right now carry nothing but just something they can put in a bag and roll it behind them. And the less people that are a lot sadder than I are traveling around the world with just something sticking in an overhead compartment. Because the less you have, the easier it is to get around. And the second thing, the more that we have, the more it costs us. That's the same thing on airlines. You know, I think Alice and I were trying to go to Hawaii and we overpacked. We didn't. This is the first time ever doing a real big travel, and we overstuffed our bags. And we got to the airport, and we're having to reallocate all our stuff into different bags and trying to make everything under 50 pounds. And no matter whatever jingle we did, either something was getting thrown away, or we're going to have to pay more money. And we just ended up having to pay more money. But that's the same thing in our relationships. The more that we carry into it, the more that we have, the more it ends up costing us. There's more stuff, more hurdles that we have to jump through because of what we carried into our relationship. But here's the big one. Baggage, and this is what I think of, and I don't want you guys to think. When I think of baggage, I think about like whenever you travel somewhere, and let's say you got a taxi, and you throw all your stuff in the back of a taxi, and you pull up to a house, and you get out, and you got all your stuff sitting in the taxi, you're in your car, and you come in the house, and you greet everybody, and you hug them, and you kiss them, and say, hey, they say, hey, why don't you take your coat off and sit a while, and you say, I'd love to, but I got a bunch of stuff in the car I got to get out. Okay. Well, go get that and come sit down. And what baggage is the things that keep us from being settled wherever we are. It's the things that keep us from being committed. The thing that says, I'll get to that, I'll be there, I'll be fully committed with you, I'll be totally committed to you, but let me do this first. Or I've got this back here that I have to attend to. And that's what baggage is. That happens with the relationship with God. It happens with the relationship with our spouses. It's the thing that keeps us being fully committed and present in our relationships right where we are. And if everyone would admit it, there's some things that keep us from being fully present with the people that are sitting right next to you. In our laps, holding hands, back home, any of those things. You hear stuff like, I would be more affectionate. This is things that Allison and I went through when we were first married. Say, I would be more affectionate, but this happened prior to you in my life. These things happened, and I was hurt by this person. You hear things like, I would be more committed, but this happened, and it left me standing there cold and by myself. Or, I'd love to serve God fully, but I've got some things that are in the way. And here, it's not hard. You can talk to anybody and hear these kind of excuses and things coming up. When you hear those things, what you're hearing is baggage. Something that someone's carried into the relationship and is keeping them from being fully committed to the process of the task that they got at hand. God realizes that we carry this baggage. And that's why Jesus has all these baggage stripping regulations for us to be His disciples. If you'll turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. We'll start in verse 57. Let's just look at some of the way Jesus says that some of our stuff gets in the way. Verse 57 says, and it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus sounds a lot like Dud right here. He says, Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds have the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. I'm not packing a lot where I'm going. I don't have a mansion that I'm headed to. I don't have a whole lot. If you're going to follow me, we're not going to have a whole lot. And then verse 59, he says, and said unto another, follow me. But he says, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Verse 60, what does Jesus say? He says, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Jesus already set in the stage that if you're going to follow me and you and I are going to have this relationship and I'm going to be first, you can't start our relationship bringing in a baggage. Bringing in other things that you're gonna say, hey, I will do this, but first, give me a second, and then I'll get to that. I would love to follow you. I would love to be committed. I'd love to come preach your word. I'll follow you wherever you go, but first, let me do this. Jesus says, no. No. Let those things be gone, and you come and do this thing. Let's look on even more. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but first let me go and bid them farewell which are at home and at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. When we have baggage in our relationship, what are we doing? We're looking back. We're constantly looking back to the things that's happened, the things that's been done to us, and looking at it in a way saying, this is keeping me from being, I would love to do this for you, but I've got this thing. This thing is holding me back from being fully committed, fully 100% invested in what we're doing. I look around the room right now and I can already see faces like, yeah, I'm there. I know. I know because each and every one of us is here. I can't tell you how many times already in my short time of ministry that God's called me and said, hey, I want you to go here. And I'm like, and I'm wanting to hold on to something back here. I'm wanting, you know, sometimes I think that I pack too much on purpose. Sometimes I think I put too much in my bag so I have an excuse just in case I need to be all in. Just in case God's like, hey, I need you all in. By the way, he asked that. I want you all in. I leave stuff sometimes just so I can say, but I know better.
Jesus, we're going to read right here. I love how this kind of worked out. I'm just looking at this, and I love how this worked out. But we'll go right into chapter 10, and chapter 10 is going to be a baggage stripping mission. Okay? And I love how this works out. We're talking about this. Let's just go straight into the verses, starting in verse 1. And after these things, the Lord appointed another 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Verse 2. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. This needs to be thought of as much as a promise, as much as it does the truth. You understand? That it's not just true that there's a harvest out there and it's so great that we need a lot of laborers, but it needs to be thought of as a promise. That there's a harvest out there, folks. There's a lot of people out there that will benefit from being told the Word of God, that they could be come to faith and salvation in Jesus Christ. And he says, pray for laborers. Because the harvest is plenty. You know, if you go out west, I don't know this for a fact. I don't want to sit up here and tell anything false. I don't know this for a fact. But I'm pretty sure no one plants those 1,000-acre cornfields and have portions of it that they can't reap and take up and get sold. I don't think they leave any standing and say, we won't harvest that in this year. We'll just let it die on the stalk and we won't worry about that. But you know, when we don't volunteer, when we're not all in, when we're not all committed to doing the work of God, that's what we're doing. But there's a harvest out there. God has prepared people's hearts to hear the message about His Son and they're not getting it. That's heartbreaking to think about to me. There's people out there that God has prepared for the message. They're ready for the picking. But instead, what do? They rot. They rot on the tree because they never... We're not Calvinists, are we? We don't believe God just saves people arbitrarily. See, that's the thing. If that's the doctrine, if that's what we believe in, then that's what we do believe in, that no one can come to faith unless they hear the Word of God. Amen, right? So that means they've got to hear it. Who's going to tell them? Right? All of us. Verse 3. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among the wolves. Now listen to these things. He kind of limits them down to what they're going to be carrying here. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes. Salute no man by the way. And in whatsoever house you enter, first say peace be to the house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter and receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Now what I want you guys to see right here is Jesus stripping these people down to almost nothing. And basically he says, I'm going to send you out there basically with not a thing except the clothes you're wearing and a message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here now. Jesus Christ has come, repent, and believe. That's what he said. I'm stripping you down to just these bare essentials. And I'm thinking that if it was up to the disciples, I believe if it was up to them, they might not have went out city to city with just a message. I'm just saying if you were leaving it up to them. I'm pretty sure I would have had a pack mule. I would have had a pack mule and I'd have had loaded down with provisions. I don't know how long I'm going to be gone, but I'm going to be prepared. Okay? He says that's... Because Jesus started off, what did he say? I'm going to send you out as sheep among the wolves. So I'm going to have a sword on my I'm going to have a sword, maybe a crossbow. I don't know what all the weapons were at the time, but I'm going to have the best stuff available to fight these wolves that I'm going to send amongst as a sheep. I'm going to have some food. I'm going to have a tent. What if somebody don't let me in the house, Casey? If they don't let me in the house and I don't have no place to sleep, I'm going to bring one of them blow-up air mattresses. Okay? Because I also like scorpions and snakes and things like that, so I'm going to be up off the ground on an air mattress and something to keep the camel spiders are over there too, right? I like camel spiders. So I want to keep the bugs and the stuff off of me when I'm sleeping. I want to be safe. I want to have all those things. And then, you know what? What if they don't feed what I like to eat? I mean, I'm not very picky, but I'm just saying, what if they got some stuff there just like, I'm not eating that? What if they don't have enough? That's my biggest thing. I go to somebody's house, and like Wanda, I come over to some people's house and they just feed me this, like put this little thing on a plate, and they smile and they hand it to me. I'm like, that's great, but where's more? You know, where do we get more at? Simon brings some extras and some things like that, right? But Jesus doesn't let them do that. Jesus wanted these men to be completely reliant, first on Jesus, but then secondly, he also wanted them to be reliant totally on the hospitality of the other people. See, what was the danger of happening? The danger of happening to you and I every day when we go out and we meet people. It's that if we can keep them at arm's distance, we don't have to truly be invested in them. You understand what I'm saying? If you go out there and you meet someone and you've got everything you need and you don't have to ask them for anything, then what happens? Pride kind of gets in the way. You don't need them for anything. You don't have to invest in them. You don't have to do anything. But then what happens if you do? What Jesus sent them out there said, I want you to be reliant totally upon the hospitality of others. You know what's some of the greatest missionaries? You know also what makes Steve Meese a great missionary? I think, because he flies by the seat of his pants. He didn't pack heavy. He doesn't have everything in the world loaded down with him. He goes places and he doesn't have a whole lot. And he gets in the conversation and he says, hey, you know what? We're going to have BBS here this week. Oh, yeah, where's your material? I didn't bring any. You know? Yeah. These lies are true. I didn't even know it was a real story, but it's true. That happens, and then what happens? People start coming in. He starts making relationships. He starts seeing people. He starts explaining what's happened. And then what happens? People start getting saved and they start coming to know the Lord because of those relationships that are forged. When you and I pack heavy, when we go through our lives and we have all these things and we think that we have all we need, what we're really doing is we're shunning other people the blessing of helping us out and us the blessing of getting to know them. You know what great blessing I've had about letting people come over and help me work on my house? I know it sounds backwards. I know it sounds like, well, of course you'd be happy about that. I am, but I've been so blessed by just spending the day with Casey over here planing lumber down and Jack over helping me build a wall and Wayne coming and doing it. I mean, that's what a great time to spend with these men and get to know their hearts and talk to them about things. And what's happened is they're invested in me and now I'm invested in them. I care. Casey's troubles are personal to me now. Jack's troubles are personal to me. That comes from being invested in people. And then let's look on. I have here a common relationship baggage. I've been burned before. Who in here has been burned before? Raise your hand. Who in here has been really, really hurt by the last person? Jackson got his hand up back there.
Yeah. Poor Jackson. He's been through.
We have spiritual baggage. We're Baptists. Here's something I don't hear too much. I've done too much. I can't be saved. We all know better than that. But what I do hear is I'm not in a good place in my life right now. I'm not in a place right now where I can be asked to serve. I can't be relied upon right now because I'm just not in the right place right now in my heart.
What is that? That's baggage, right?
I'd love to be fully committed here. You know, I think God had me teach a Sunday school class, but I've got to get rid of some of these things have to happen first. I've got to get this straight away. I've got to get this fixed. I've got to get this situated in my life. That's baggage that we're bringing into a relationship so we don't have to be fully present, fully committed to where we are.
I love this. I love this so much. Jesus teaches us right here to not let our baggage build up. Because it has a tendency to. It has a tendency, you know, whenever you build a home and you say, hey, I want to make a garage so I can store some stuff in. And then you come back and you see that person a few years from now and you look, it's not just storing some stuff, it's storing other people's stuff. We'll put other people's junk in the places and the spaces that we make. When we make a little room to put things in, what do? We fill it to the top with other things. We don't just put in the things that we intended to. It all of a sudden gets junk that we never intended to go in there, right? Who has an office? Say this, like a startup, this will be a real office, and now it's not a real office. It's got like clothes and junk, and right? That's what happens. When we make a little space for anything, we put other junk in there that don't need to be there. Jesus teaches right here, Don't let this stuff build up. Look what he says. I love this.
He says, but whatsoever city you enter and receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. The resentment of rejection, the bitterness stored against people who despise us, people who refuse to take you in.
Jesus says, don't carry that to the next place. Listen, folks, don't carry the same things into your relationship. Don't carry the same thing into your relationship between husband and wife, your kids. You don't let those things start. Jesus says, wipe your feet off. Deal with that there. But don't bring it into the next relationship, because what might happen if those disciples had carried the resentment and the bitterness of the last place that rejected them and they walked into the next house with that? They wouldn't have had a fair shot, would they? They wouldn't have an equal standing to be able to hear the gospel with hope and truth and a smile on their face and loving embrace. They wouldn't be able to do that, would they? Because they would still be holding and harboring resentment from the last place. I love this part. Jesus shares or carries our struggles, and look what he tells them in verse 16. He said, he that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. Okay, here's your permission right here to not take anything personal. Everybody hear me this morning? This evening? This is your permission to never take anything personal. Here's what this says. If someone hates you, someone doesn't like you, someone rejects you, Jesus says, take that as a rejection of me and not you. But here's the catch. Everything you do, how you love your husband, how you love your wife, how you love your child, how you love the people that are in this church, how you love the people outside this church, has to be done to the glory of God. That's the catch. Get that? As long as you're doing that, when they reject you, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Him. Jesus said, let that be on me. You're doing what I've asked you to do. They're not saying that you're a bad person. They're not saying you've got ugly monkey breath. They're saying they don't want to hear me anymore. That's real. You know, a lot of times when we talk about submission, in Corinthians we talk about wives be submitted to your husbands, and I hear a lot of people preach about what submission isn't. But I never hear a lot of people preach about what submission is. Submission's a great thing. Let me tell you why it is. Because God gives us parameters. God places you and I in places, and what God judges our work is, and He doesn't judge our work, but if you took away all boundaries, what would you accomplish, Jamie? If I took every boundary away, what would you do? Instead, I think this is what God would look at. Jamie, I've placed you at unity. Here's what we teach here. Here's Danville. Here's the people you have to work with. And God judges what I've done with who I have to work with and where I'm at. What I'm doing. And as long as I'm being submissive to God, there's a lot of freedom in there. There's so much freedom. You know why? Because of what Jesus has said. The mistakes aren't on me if I'm doing it for the glory of God. They're not. I'm doing the best I can to serve. I'm asking God, bless these endeavors if they're yours. And if I fail miserably here, you know, I'm not happy with this morning's message. I went home, I'd beat myself up. I don't think I communicated that, how that struck me. But I was doing it to the glory of God. I was doing it to the glory of God, and if I failed it, it's not on me. I prayed that message up, and I studied that message out. I did all I could do. And Holy Spirit, that's on you. If it affects hearts, it affects hearts. But that's not on me. I got to remind myself of that all the time. But that's what real submission is. Wives, be submitted to your husbands. You know what? If your husband makes a mess of things, guess what you did? You did your job. You supported him throughout whatever he was trying to do. Supporting the family. You made sure he was fed, that he was loved, that his children were cared for, the house was a happy home. There's freedom in submission. There's great freedom in submission. And I wish sometimes we'd talk about that more, because sometimes we talk about it like it's a bad thing, but it's a great thing. Luke 10:17.
And the 70 returned again with joy. You might want to underline that, circle up. They returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They were excited about the things they were able to accomplish. I wonder how much they would have been able to do if they had been encumbered by a bunch of stuff. If they had loaded down their bags and just took a bunch of stuff, Casey, I wonder how much they would have accomplished. I wonder if they would have been to all the places and went and visited and did all the things that they could do if they had just packed all the stuff. It said that they returned with joy. I was sitting and thinking about this. You know, Alice and I, whenever we do our hiking, I'd pack everything in the kitchen sink in this backpack. It was heavy. It was a 60-pound, 70-pound bag when I was done. And we were going to stay out there for a week, you know. You want to cover every provision, everything, you know. And we'd go somewhere and we'd hike and we'd go to the spot and, you know, set up camp and spend time there. And it was great and it was taxing. But when you got there, you had to rest because you'd been lugging that thing around all the time. And if you wanted to go somewhere else, you know, you didn't want to leave your food behind and all that stuff. So what we ended up doing, we ended up buying these things, they call them Summit bags. They were these little bitty bags that would carry a bottle of water and a package of oatmeal. Throw those things on our back. And we'd go up to some of the peaks of hills and mountains and go to the mouths of certain streams and up to some waterfalls, and we'd have some of the best experiences and best time there. You know why? Because we weren't packing everything in the world with us. We were traveling light, left all that junk back at the base camp, and it was just us two together. We were able to see stuff that we would never be able to see and enjoy it in a way that we'd never been able to have joy had we backed all that junk with us. Same way our marriages, same way our relationship with God. We pack all that junk around with us. We're always going to feel tired, we're always going to feel encumbered, we're always going to feel like we cannot do exactly what we've been asked to do. But we'll leave that stuff behind and go with just the essentials. What are the essentials? Faith, hope, love? Those things? Yeah. We'll just go with those things. We've got enough. We have to do that though. You have to do it in your head. I'm going to leave those things behind and I'm going to go with just the essentials. Love in my heart, and desire to show it. When we do that, listen, when you do that, prepare for things to open up in your relationships, prepare to make effect change in other people's hearts, prepare to go outside these walls and make relationships with people, just like missionaries do all over the world. When they go out there and they're flying by the seat of their pants with just a love and a desire to tell people about Jesus. We don't need to have our Bibles and load it down with tracts and all those things. If you just got your testimony and love for somebody, you can do wonders. Everybody in here has got that, right? And if you don't have a testimony, you can have one tonight. You can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ tonight. You can tell people about a night where you came to church and you professed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and He saved you. Let's all stand. Tonight, my prayer that we're going to ask is simple. Like I said, I don't think there's anyone in this room that has a relationship that isn't some degree of baggage they brought into. Some amount of outside obligation to something that's keeping you from being fully committed and present right where you are. Maybe committed to the church, to God, to your wife, to your husband, to your children. Here's what I ask you is to look at that tonight. Leave that sitting right here. Like, leave this building and make a commitment to God. I'm going to leave those things that aren't important, that aren't necessary, I'm going to let them sit right here. And I'm going to go out those doors lighter than when I came in, prepared to do the things God's asked me to do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much.